grace, mercy, and peace. These gifts and so many more are yours from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is our gospel lesson from Luke chapter 2. My dear fellow brothers and sisters of the Christ child, Luke chapter 2. I wonder if there are 20 verses of the Bible that are better known than the first 20 verses of Luke 2. For those of us with five or more decades in our rearview mirror, we remember it as, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree." Just a few days ago, we gathered in this house of God, or a different house of God, and through the words of Luke 2, we revisited that manger in Bethlehem. I would guess that we could all close our eyes and see those shepherds coming with haste to see Jesus in that manger. We worshiped and adored him with those shepherds. And then, as Christians have for centuries, we went back home and we pondered those things in our hearts, just like Mary. And then today, less than a week later, we come back to a house of God, and what do we find? We find Jesus now all of a sudden at the age of 12. And that perhaps didn't make much sense when you first realized what the gospel lesson is and the focus of our message. Why jump ahead 12 years on this timeline when there are still Christmas trees and Christmas lights and Christmas hymns? Yet as usual, God through his word knows what we need to hear and gives us what we need to hear as one more Christmas celebration comes to a close. Our theme this morning is Be at Home with Jesus. And through the words of a relatively familiar story, Jesus in the Temple, we will see that in order to be at home with Jesus, first we need to know where to find him. In our text, we're told every year Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the feast, for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. If you're familiar with the story, you know that Mary and Joseph are in for some criticism with how they handle this whole event. But before they receive criticism, they also receive from Luke a rather subtle compliment. We're told that, as was their custom, they went to Jerusalem. Jews were required every year to attend this great festival of the Passover. But not everybody could make it. Not everybody could make it each year. But Mary and Joseph, as poor as they were, would make this 2 to 3 day journey to Jerusalem, spend a week there worshiping, and then return back home. We're told after the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Imagine the panic that overwhelmed Mary and Joseph. More than a few of us here as parents have experienced that sheer terror of losing a child, whether it's at a store or a park or at a campground. One minute they're by your side, the next second they're gone. But for Mary and Joseph, it wasn't a 30-minute frantic search. It wasn't a PA announcement over the loudspeaker at a mall. But it was 3 days of frantic searching for their 12-year-old son. You can imagine how that frustration and that fear simply built up in them. And you can hear the irritation in Mary's voice when they finally find Jesus. "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." To me, Mary seems rather calm. "If after 3 days I finally found one of my lost children." And it seems a very reasonable question on her part. "Son, why have you put us through this?" But listen to Jesus and the very gentle rebuke that he offers his mother. "Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" The problem was that Mary and Joseph and Jesus had two different ideas of who Jesus' father really was here on earth. Mary says, "Didn't you know that your father and I were searching for you?" And Jesus' response, "But I'm about my father's business." the King James Version that's more literal translation that many of us know. Didn't you know I had to be about my Father's business? And that is exactly what Jesus was doing there in the temple courts with all of those experts in the law. In spite of angels announcing Jesus' birth, in spite of strange visitors before Jesus reached the age of two, in spite of someone taking Jesus in his arms in the temple and blessing him and then looking at Mary and giving her a warning about what was to come, in spite of all of those things, Mary and Joseph struggled to remember that Jesus was not like any other 12-year-old. They found Jesus, but they didn't really know where to look for him. Same is true of us so often. So 6 nights ago, we found Jesus. And for most, if not all of us, he was exactly where we thought he'd be, in that manger in a stable in Bethlehem. But now we've come back to church, and what do we find? Now we find a 12-year-old boy, unlike any other boy, who stayed behind that church, who wasn't tugging on mom saying, when can we go, but wanted to be there doing exactly what his father wanted him to do. And Jesus did this willingly. Sat there in God's house, never checking his watch, never rolling his eyes at the noisy children, never wondering when would the sermon come to an end, never hoping against hope that there wasn't a Wells connection at the end of this service, but simply being overjoyed and thrilled to be in God's house. Now, the fact that we're here today, just after we've packed this church for 4 services, would indicate that perhaps we have a pretty good appreciation for God's house as well. Yet no matter how sincere our motives, and no matter how good our intentions, you and I realize that every time we come to church, no matter what door we walk through, no matter what church we attend, we bring with us, kicking and screaming, a sinful nature who says, you have got to be kidding. Another hour in church? A sinful nature that watches an offering plate pass by and say, a whole lot of other things you could do with that hard-earned income. A sinful nature that says, but I've heard this all before. But what's our comfort this morning? Our comfort is that when they found Jesus in the temple, right where he was supposed to be, we're told they found him in the temple court, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. Amazed at his understanding and answers. And our comfort is in 2 things. One is that, yes, too often we come here begrudgingly. Too often we come here and are so easily distracted. But Jesus has paid the price for those sins of distraction and misplaced priorities. Not only did he pay for those sins on the cross, but Jesus, in his perfect obedience, every time he entered God's house, did what our sinful nature doesn't let us do: focus completely on his Father's business. And then, just like those teachers of the law that were so amazed at Jesus' answers and his understanding, so often, in a very good way, isn't the same true of you and me? How often we come to church and are surprised that there in a hymn that we've sung 30 or 40 times before, there is a phrase that resonates this Sunday because it's exactly what God knew I needed to hear. Like me, are you ever surprised that when in the beginning of the service you confess your sins and you hang your head in shame over some sin that very few, if any, know except you? Are you ever surprised that when a servant of Christ turns around that he never says, I forgive you all of your sins, except you, sitting in that third pew behind the middle pillar? After what you've done, God won't forgive you. Like me, are you amazed that that never happens? Have you ever listened to a sermon and on the way out said to the pastor, "You must have had a hidden microphone in my kitchen, because you know exactly my family's struggle. You know exactly the comfort that we needed to hear." Amazed, amazed at what God offers us in His Word, exactly when we need to hear it. Be at home with Jesus, know where to find Him, and then secondly, know who He is. When Mary and Joseph find Jesus, they ask Him, "Didn't you know we were looking for you?" He says, "Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house?" But we're told they did not understand what He was saying to them. You have to feel for Mary and Joseph. From the moment of Jesus' conception, Mary realized this would be a very unique child. From the angel's announcement and the shepherd's visit and Simeon's song and the flight for life to Egypt and everything that happened, she realized he was different. And Joseph, four different messages and dreams. The message to take Mary as his wife, to flee from Bethlehem to Egypt, to return from Egypt, and then don't go back to Bethlehem, but to Nazareth. Four different times, you wonder if Joseph ever thought when he went to bed at night, "Please God, no more messages." And in spite of all of those warnings and all of those announcements, there had to be times when Mary and Joseph looked at Jesus and wondered, "But really, what does this all mean?" Probably especially this most cryptic of messages. When an aged man took that baby in his arms, blessed him, and then looked at Mary and said, "And a sword will pierce your own soul too." It's not as though she is the first mom that ever received bad news. It's not as though she is the first mother who ached for her child. But at his birth, just 40 days after his birth, to be told that a sword would pierce her soul also, besides the agony her son would experience, Mary had to be wondering, and when is that going to happen? And can you blame Mary? If there were times when she looked at the world's Jesus and thought to herself, but just for a little bit, God, just let him be my Jesus. That there were times when she would have liked to have a hand in her son's destiny rather than some prophet 700 years earlier, a man she had never met, saying he would be stricken and smitten and afflicted. He'd be pierced for the world's transgressions. Like any mom, didn't Mary want to spare her son from that? Can we understand Mary if she realized that, yes, God so loved the world and that's why he sent his son, her son? But at times she would have said, "But God, it's great you love the world, but what about me?" Could it be that maybe Mary and Joseph struggled when they found Jesus in the temple because they were going through a little denial? And if they were, do we ever see ourselves in them? Our own denial of when we find Jesus, at least the Jesus that we find in the pages of Scripture. Are there times when we come to church and we want not the Jesus of the Bible, but our Jesus? We want the Jesus who wouldn't take someone we love long before ready to lose them, even though Jesus knew they wanted to be in his arms in heaven. Are we looking for a Jesus who would do what's best for our children instead of being so loving towards other people's children and giving them what we think our children rightfully deserve? Are there ever times when we would rather write the screenplay for our lives according to what we would want our Jesus to do rather than what the Son of God has done? And so when we find the Jesus of Scripture, and not the Jesus of our wishful thinking, then what is our reaction? To be at home with Jesus here in his house, to know who he is, and then finally to know where we want to keep him. At the end of our text, we're told, "Then Jesus went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart." 6 nights ago, we heard that same phrase, that Mary pondered all of these things in her heart. Tell me what mother hasn't done the same thing. What mom hasn't focused every single day of her life on both the big and seemingly little details of her children's lives, and focused on them all throughout the day, in the kitchen, at work, while she's driving? Tell me what mom hasn't created in her own heart a scrapbook with pictures and memories that would put to shame any Facebook page of memories. That's what Mary did. And she treasured those things in her heart. And this morning, do you understand that the Holy Spirit has done the same thing for each of us as God's children? From the day of your baptism, the first time you recited Luke 2 in a children's service, the first time your mom or dad let you so very carefully put Jesus in the middle of that nativity scene, you have pondered those things in your heart. And year after year, as you get out that nativity scene and hang those very precious family ornaments, every year as you come with the little children to worship your Savior, and every time you enter God's house, not just during the month of December, you find a Jesus who is the same Jesus in January as he was on December 24th. And you have created in your own heart, by the gift of the Holy Spirit, a scrapbook of faith, and you ponder what this Savior has done and continues to do for you. To thee my heart I offer, O Christ child sweet and dear. By faith, that's what you and I did less than a week ago. By God's grace, you can be at home with Jesus, because by God's grace, Jesus is always at home with you. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all of our understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We join together in singing.